During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teal's Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Here we go. As Robin just called it off the air, it's Tuesdays with Bob.
Tuesdays with Bob. We killed the opening monologue already.
We got the Duggars to talk about today. We got some Rex Hermann to talk about today. We're going to start with the Duggars. A man allegedly confessed before a lawyer was anywhere near him. The state of Florida has felony charges ready. The state of Arkansas has its own case building separately. And a defense attorney handling it just told the media his client wants to be treated fairly. Fair is a fine goal. But what the audience wants to know is what a defense actually looks like when the evidence appears, like when you maybe admitted to this on a phone call and it's stacked against you before the first hearing even starts. Joining us to help us break this down, it's Tuesdays with Bob. Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast.
With Bob.
Defense Rights. We'll make a jingle for you. It'll be Tuesdays with Bob.
Yeah. What about Bob?
Let's start here with the Duggars. This is not going to be an easy one to walk into out of the gate. If in fact he did allegedly confess over the phone to Joseph, Dad's having this conversation with Joseph, and Joseph's saying, "Yeah, I did it, but I'm asking for forgiveness." Okay, it's there once done, and then once with an officer on the line. How damning is that going into a case if you're trying to defend somebody?
Pretty damning, T.
And it's funny, Bob, because normally I'm always waiting for the reverse angle. You know, it doesn't really count, you know, and you don't really know them, and it was coerced, you know. But when Bob said, it's not good.
Yeah, dude, no, this is not a good situation. The bigger problem from them, you know, I think we talked about last week a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can potentially attack on the over here, you know, mm-hmm. when he makes the call. But in terms of the confession to a non-law enforcement, like you can't come at him with Mirandizing. Fourth Amendment isn't a thing because private citizens can't violate your Fourth Amendment. That's the government. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's the problem with it from the perspective of trying to attack the confessions, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So, I mean, look, again, defense attorneying isn't scumbaggery, slippery, trying to get guilty people off. You're trying to make sure that your client gets a fair trial.
Right.
You're trying to make sure that the cops did their job on the up and up. Same with the prosecutor. And you're trying to make sure that your client understands his rights or her rights. And if you do all those things and they have the evidence, they're going to be convicted if they don't take a plea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, and that's where this thing really lay. I think because we all are in true crime and we're covering active cases, it becomes kind of pushed to the side, the concept that really the reality of the situation is that 90%+ of cases are pled out.
Sure.
It's very rare for things to go to trial. So, and when you have evidence like this, I mean, if Duggar walked into our office, first of all, and I know we're going to get to the next question, but, you know, which I'll wait. I'm usually slipping into next questions and an answer. I'm going to try to do better, Tony. So I
do it all the time.
Yeah, hard because I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, go but for it.
Look, you know, I'm sitting down with my client. I'm hearing, you know, his version. In this case, I'm like, okay, did you talk to anybody? It's always one of the first three questions I ask. Did you talk to the cops? Did you make a statement? Okay, what? What did you say? I can't remember. Well, try. Because, you know, you're all I have until I get discovery, you know. And for my purposes, it doesn't really matter on an initial consult. I'm just trying to give them an understanding of what the charges are, what the potential penalties are. And, you know, without having the discovery, I don't know the full story yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm kind of beholden to my client, whatever they're telling me. And, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. I understand that most of my clients come in and say, I didn't do this shit. And I'm like, okay, you know, so that question of whether or not they talk to anybody is an important one. And then, you know, I really do press them to try to get as much as I can from them on what they said and to who it was made to. That statement matters quite a bit, as it does here. But, you know, I mean, they'll try to attack the over here, I'm sure.
Sure.
You know, because like the approach is you're not pleading out immediately. Right. You've got to get the discovery. You're not doing the job. You're just like, you're screwed, dude. Like, sorry, you made the statement. You might as well plead you out right away. I'm sure there's attorneys out there that do that, but they're not very good attorneys. So you got to wait till the discovery comes and you look at it. You say, all right, look, you know, I've looked at it. It looks like they went and got this warrant. It looks like they're basing it on the CAC interview. And they've got enough to get this thing in. This thing's not going to get suppressed. I'm not going to file frivolous motions just to file it. There's got to be grounds for me to try to attack it. And if that's not the case, then we're looking at it. We're going through the rest of the evidence. And ultimately, you know, in a situation like this, I consider the confessions or the statements just to be corroborative.
Yeah.
Because ultimately the victim's going to testify.
Yeah.
So this isn't a situation where you've just got a young victim testifying. You now have the alleged perpetrator admitting to it on two different occasions, once in an over here and then once to an individual, a private citizen. So it's tough, man.
Yeah. So, Bob, I got a really gross question, and I apologize for anyone.
I'm leaving.
Watch your wording. We're on YouTube.
I am. That's why I'm going to take my time and try to frame it right. And it's only because I didn't work these cases inside the bureau, and I don't know I know you know the law much better, hugely much better than I do. I'm curious about this. Because we covered so much of Epstein stuff, and I read Ginny's book. And also we cover cases like Maddie Soto, and you remove the murder aspect of that, but just what Stephen Stearns did to her. And then I read the charges that Joseph's accused of. We have overclothing. Is there a difference in the law between overclothing, accusatory, doing horrendous things to children, and no clothing? I know it's a granular thing, but I'm just curious whether they might be able to get off on something or lessen something because of that, I just don't know the law on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is. And it, like what it boils down to, like just simply put, is it's a different level of felony.
Is it?
So, yeah, like if there's penetration of you know,
that's any more crash way I wanted to. Yeah. I was curious.
Yeah. I mean, but that, I mean, that's actually the legal term.
Right.
But that, you know, that, that changes the game, you know,
because the penalty of this seems still was extremely steep, which I loved seeing. I was just wondering if it could get even steeper if we discover more. I guess that's what I was really getting at.
Yes, it can. It can get steeper.
Is anyone surprised that that Joseph just flat out came out and said this on the phone call with the dad? I mean, that to me, I thought was, I don't know, I'm kind of surprised and I'm kind of not. I guess you kind of got to look at it from the perspective of where Joseph might have been at that moment in time, where he's conditioned, where most things get handled insularly within the Duggar, you know, cult. And then things don't necessarily reach the law. Do you think he had zero sense in him that there might be an officer on the other line hearing this when he's repeating it again for a second time, or was he just that completely clueless? And if he's that clueless, I'm wondering why he might have been that clueless. Was this a person that he trusted to a degree that that he wouldn't have contemplated that would bring the law after him?
I mean, I would have to think so.
Yeah,
I would have to think so. You know, I gave an example of an overhear of one of my clients back in the day. And, you know, I mean, it was the baby mama, mm-hmm. you know, when the outcry happened, baby mama was obviously furious and upset and immediately went to law enforcement. And they said, okay, at this point, we've got a very, very young child still, but the allegations are coming from 6 years previous, 7 years previous, we're going to want more, mm-hmm. you know, because at the end of the day, if they're going to take it to trial and you've got the child victim is really your best evidence, you're going to try to get more if you're law enforcement. And typically this is what they'll do. You know, mm-hmm. they'll say, all right, well, we're going to ask for an overhear warrant and you're going to have to talk to him and you've got to try to get him to admit it on the phone call. So, I mean, really they're employing that person as an agent, you know, which is why they have to go get the warrant, mm-hmm. you know, so, and it's important for the cases typically.
Yeah.
Well, so you want, so I would assume that this wasn't a stranger, mm-hmm. you know, I'm assuming that this is someone that felt, you know, he felt at least comfortable enough. 'Cause that's a big thing to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm. But and Tony, to your point, you know, we talked about this the other day. They are so, and I'm going to use the word groomed into this religion. Remember that big word we were using yesterday? By admitting, you get restoration. As long as you're talking to someone who he feels can restore himself, so you confess and you're restored. Restoration means so much more to them than innocent, it seems, because of that religion compared to law. I mean, it's really pretty profound. And Bob, I'm curious, have you seen any other group or cult that seems to elevate their cult law above actual legal law as much as this group seems to be?
I mean, yeah, I've seen, obviously, I think every kind of cult that's been exposed criminally, like in the last 15, 20 years,
yeah.
You see that all the time, right? I mean, it's, they just, I don't know if they rely on this concept that they're, you know, they're outside of the boundaries of the law because it's religion, you know, and I think that they're kind of confusing what, you know, the freedom mm-hmm. of religion clause means, you know, and that's God. Where like you don't get to turn around and say, okay, well, you know, our religion allows murder, but, you know, unfortunately for them, there's a statute that predates that religion because the concept of the Constitution is that the government can't make any law that infringes mm-hmm. upon that right. Okay. Right. So, like meaning it's going to be, it's ex post facto. So they start a religion and, you know, one of the things they do is, you know, they drink Kool-Aid standing on their head, waiting for the mothership to land. And, you know, the government's like, you know what? I cannot stand watching people drinking Kool-Aid, like standing on their head, shit's coming out of their nose. It's disgusting.
It's weird.
We're going to pass some legislation strictly banning that. Like that kind of thing, you've got an argument, you know, a constitutional argument. Mm-hmm. But you know, obviously SA statutes are in place and have been for a very long time. You're not going to be able to escape being tried under a state or federal law based on religion for the most part, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like you used to see it more. Oddly enough, I had a really, when I was in law school all those many years ago, every year we like, so the 1Ls, the first years would all, every one of them would have to prepare an appellate brief, and then we'd do oral arguments. It was a competition. And then ultimately, you know, it was like bracket play. You'd make mm-hmm. it in the final two. So our interesting fact pattern was that it was a child whose parents were, what is the religion? They don't celebrate holidays and birthdays. Starts with an M.
Jehovah's Witness?
Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I never liked that growing up.
Okay, so one of the other tenets of that religion is that they can't have other people's blood. It's like, so blood transfusions are wholly rejected in their religion. And so this kid, so the fact pattern was this. Okay, you've got parents, you've got a 16-year-old kid. He's got this disease where they can cure it, where if they don't do this particular surgery, which they're going to need to transfuse blood during the surgery, mm-hmm. if they don't do that, then he's going to lose his ability to be able to walk. It's not as severe as he's going to die. So it was clever the way that they made it, where it would just, he'd lose his ability to be able to walk.
That's all.
So that's all. Big deal, right? So the two issues for us were mature minor doctrine. Okay. Like, was that child mature enough as a 16-year-old to make their own medical decisions? And then the other one was, This tug of war between the First Amendment and the right of religion. And it's their belief. It's their firm belief. So we had to argue it out, you know, and there wasn't any, I mean, there's this case called Yoder, which is a Supreme Court case that really digs deep into the First Amendment. But it was a fascinating exercise. And it kind of gets to the heart of what I think the mindset of a lot of these cult leaders and the followers subscribe to, you know, and it's just this thing where they're living off grid, mm-hmm. you know, they're living in their own kind of commune. They have their own set of rules. They do things differently. They don't feel as if they're a part of regular society. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. yes, there's probably aspects of it where they incorporate because they need to make money. You know what I mean? Like, money is always the thing. Money is where they.
That's what's so interesting about these guys is that they are not. I mean, you have the Amish, which are more off grid than IBLP is.
Yeah.
And yet they seem so. Even though they keep having these examples in the same family of Josh and now Joseph, that they fear that umbrella of that protection of their religion more than they fear the law, which has actually bit them in the ass a lot more than anything else has. And yet they still keep coming back to it. It's really mind-bending.
I think that their thing is, you know, God's going to make it okay. You know, if they're operating in according to their tenets under the, mm-hmm. the word of God as they understand it to be, and, you know, what you always get with these cult leaders is that, you know, they got the bat phone to God. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that God's communicating with them directly. And so, you know, I mean, if you get people to the point where they're brainwashed enough or their faith is so deep in that person that they actually do believe that there's some kind of Messiah, you know, and that they do believe that this person is communicating directly with God. I mean, how do you overcome that in terms of you've got to unbrainwash them. You've got to,
I mean, it's almost like a toxic glass half full mentality, where it's beyond just like, well, let's try and make the positive out of this. Cause some things there's just no positive to be had. And Jim Bob's letter to Joseph in prison was all about, was basically toxic positivity.
Yeah.
You've done some very horrible things, or however he worded it.
Choices.
But he's going to use it, but you're going to be able to minister to those behind bars and spread the word. It's like, what? Like, yeah. Like, yeah, let me get ministered to by the guy that was doing these things allegedly to a kid. Like, let me just, this is the person I want to hear the word of the Lord from. But they seem to not understand the context that sticks to them and how vile and disgusting they look. They always view themselves as pure as long as they've made their peace. It doesn't matter that nobody's made peace with them. As long as they've made their peace with God, well, then everybody else should just be, you know, they should just be in fine light going forward. And that's the real sickness, I think, of cults and of this specific family.
See, here's where it's fascinating to me. And here was where I would love to see just massive psychological examinations taking place with these cult leaders.
Yeah.
To where you can figure out, I mean, are they either psychotic in that they think that they're communicating with God? I mean, do they actually think that that is happening, or is it all just a big ruse?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of religions that are not this extreme that think they're communicating with God and, you know, and walk around. Yeah.
Let me clarify. I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about back and forth. Right.
Like, that's only Lori Daybell. Lori Daybell believed that. But this group, you know, I haven't read anything that said that this group believed that. They just have an interpretation of the Bible that what they did was, again, I'm not the expert, from what I keep consuming every day of this of my life so far, is they've handpicked aspects of it that allowed the founder to rationalize his control he wanted to have over people for top cover of his own abhorrent behavior. I've seen this in other things, whether it's law or politics. Nation states do the same thing, where you'll cherry pick stuff that is a doctrine that people will adopt in mass, like religion, and they'll cherry pick their stuff to rationalize your own abhorrent behavior, and you form people and groups around it. And that's what's happened here. And then you keep perpetuating that. But as common sense as it seems to us, when you are that needy of acceptance and being valued, and then you get in that collective group mentality, I'm telling you, I mean, if anyone wants to see the power of a group mentality, you can do it on YouTube. You go to YouTube and you go to Candid Camera Elevator Experiment. And you can see the power of the group mentality, social pressure, and they get the old Candid Camera with Alan Fund. Those of us that are old remember this. You would get three or four people in an elevator, and if one person turns to the back, everyone else is start turning around, because you just want to conform to that group. And so that's what happens in groups like this, where they have this belief system that restoration, all you have to do is confess. And you confess, and again, the wording, they don't have words like sexual sins. They call them moral failures.
Yeah.
Wording is everything, right?
It is.
You'll notice that same sort of approach. IBLP is them, but I was just watching, and there's a new doc coming out on Netflix about the FLDS and Bateman. But I was watching the earlier one that it's like part two to it, basically. I forget what it's called. It's like, you know, pray, obey, something of that nature. But they operate the same sort of way, where you get these people that come out of this cult at whatever teenage year or 20 something. They don't have words to describe what happened to them. That's part of how they hold everything in. That's part of how they people can't talk about it. They don't have the words to do it. They don't exist in their vernacular. And if you purposely keep people away from being able to describe what has been done to you, and the only things that exist are some sort of godly term or some sort of thing that tempers it down, doesn't make it quite as bad, or even in some cases, look at Warren Jeffs, it's like godliness. They're convincing people this is what the Lord wants, is for me to do these horrible things to you as a child. You then get people defining it very differently depending on how you framed it.
It is no mystery. Religion, and Marx said it many years ago. It's an opiate of the people. It's used to control.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat out. And that's not to say that people that have faith, good on ya. You know, sure. I'm all about that. That's a great thing. Yeah. But in terms of the mechanics of religion, mm-hmm. you know, Tony, to that thing that you're talking about, you simply have to make it that it's a rule within that religion.
Yeah.
You know, if certain things are happening, well, you're not going to say, oh, well, we're going to keep quiet because we don't want to get in trouble with law enforcement. You're framing it in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Right.
It's coming down from the hand of God.
Yeah.
That this is what we've been taught to do. Now, the rest of society might not accept this as normal, but, mm-hmm. you know, this is what we know. And if he is your fearless leader, this came down straight from the big guy.
Go ahead.
Especially when you assimilate, because it's not even that you know, I'm talking to God, like we were talking earlier. They identify like the leader, Gothard, with God. They identify the father of the family with God. Like they're on that level with God. Right. So if it's as good as coming from God, basically, if dad says it or the leader of the cult says it, that's just as good as God. It doesn't even have to come down. It's like if they decided it, if this came to his brain, well, it came to him from God. So it's just as good. And that's how they're able to kind of make this even less ridiculous than it already is.
Because the one aspect that we forgot to talk about in this, in the last couple sessions on this and today too, that I really want to emphasize, this religion, this IBLP, they victim blame the women for enticing the men.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't even covered that aspect of it yet. So no matter if a male has a moral failing, they blame the woman for being too enticing. That's why I have to wear the clothing they do. So that's how they get around. Again, we're talking about that reframing and not having definitions for things. So when the poor men are susceptible and have a moral failing, they try to identify the woman that made it happen and they chastise her.
Yeah, well, that's
a lot of religion.
I got news for you, Robin. That's not just in religion, man. I mean,
I know.
Sadly, in society, where women are who are victims, who are then blamed because of the clothing that they wore, they were asking for it. It's sick. I mean, like that concept is disgusting. But I want to jump back. That thing that you were talking about, Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, that Messiah complex. Whether it was I had a dream. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter in terms of reaching that level where you are seen as the Messiah
mm-hmm.
at the level that's same level, maybe like one notch below God. It's because at some point they've said that they've had communication with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That has happened at some point. They may not be talking about, he may not be saying, oh, well, you know, God gave me a call last night and this is what he said. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like that.
It's
to kind of establish yourself as that you're the one, you're the chosen one, mm-hmm. you have to have had some kind of communication.
They make it very palatable for their followers to believe. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube on what's going on with Joseph Duggar. There's more to talk about in this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's move over to another fine group of folks. Duggars.
I'm sorry, Robin. It's such horrible things.
I need to take a break from these people because I can't. My God. It gets weirder. It gets darker. All that. Kendra Duggar was raised inside the religious system that built her husband's, or a similar system. It wasn't IBLP. It was another very strict religious system. But as we are learning, a bit different, actually a bit more grounded in reality, believe it or not. She married Joseph Duggar at barely 18, had four children by 27, and by all available accounts, lived the life she was trained to live, obedient, domestic, deeply embedded in a community that told her exactly who to be. She's now facing 18 misdemeanor charges, or eight misdemeanor charges in Arkansas. Her children have been removed from her custody, and investigators reportedly found locks on the outside of the children's bedroom doors. Her husband allegedly admitted twice to a nine-year-old on a family vacation 6 years ago. We're also learning behind the scenes, can't quite confirm it yet, that this child, who is now about 14 or 15 years old, may be very, very, very closely connected to Kendra. It might not just be a family friend. It might be a lot more than that. Kendra Duggar may have known nothing. She may have known something and had no framework to understand it. And I think that's where we're going to enter this, is the framework to understand, the framework to know what is going on around you. There's something I've learned in researching the IBLP over the last month and the Duggars, is when there's something kind of nasty, something that that you don't want people to sit with and stew on and contemplate and go, this is odd, they just don't give it a word. It just doesn't exist in the lexicon. And they find ways around it, and of almost toxic positivity. a way it is. There's a toxic positivity of reframing so many different things, of the horrible actions towards minors and things of that nature. And I want to caution everybody on the terms and the words that we use here, because we're on YouTube and we don't want to get flagged. In the interest of getting the message across, we'll use different words. But the fact that these things don't even enter the lexicon of people in the IBLP, of families who practice this. How much more difficult does that make then for people who are entrenched in it? Kendra's a different case. Kendra married into it. She's seeing some of it. But like the Duggars, the 19 kids who knew this stuff from birth, all the people around these folks, how difficult is it then to identify red flags when you don't even have words for it?
Yeah, it's incredibly hard, and it makes sense that for many of them, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And if you're taught that obedience and submission are everything, and you've been raised or married into that cult, and you take on the mindset, submission is virtue. And they raise the children that, we're going to cause you pain. We're going to inflict pain on you until you submit. Mm-hmm. And you've got the hierarchy with, father, husband at the top, basically in this godlike position. And then when you marry, your husband takes that role. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a language for abuse. They don't have boundaries. They don't understand that they're supposed to have boundaries. They don't know what that means. And if you're taught that your instincts are wrong, you don't learn how to listen to them. And you may not even have the instinct that kicks in that something is harmful or something is bad.
Yeah. So, Siobhan, here's my question about the dynamic of this, because it we don't know, like Tony was saying, the background of the girl that Joseph's accused of abusing, but it sounds like it's possibly related to Kendra, and Kendra's family. So what I'm curious about is this: how does someone we understand how someone like Kendra gets drawn into the Duggar clan, under the umbrella, and it all gets filtered down through this pyramid structure of control, and the fear factor of getting outside the umbrella of control when things like this happen. But how did that supplant, especially since the family's obviously, if this is all true, went on vacation together. So the families must have been close enough, and Kendra had enough religious background to be accepted by IBLP. So how does she get drawn from the umbrella of her own father, of her own parents, of that own protection into the Duggars, and not get drawn back when crazy hits?
Yeah, we don't know enough about what she was raised with, and it could be that it was similar enough, in structure and hierarchy, that the whole Duggar thing was a fairly good fit for her because there were similarities. And the ability to not see is striking, and to deny it when it happens. Or as I said last week when we talked, very often to frame it that it was a seductive child, you know, that is responsible for this.
It's really interesting I've been diving into the IBLP and looking at how they structure, how they manipulate, how they coercively control their members and, you know, call it, you know, God's layers of protection and umbrellas and all their bullshit. And also on the same note, learning more about the personal structure on a granular level, from various reporting on the internets, so we'll leave it at that, of what's been going on behind the scenes here. And it looks like there's been a fracture for quite some time with this family, with Kendra's family and the Duggars. And because remember, these allegations go back to 2020. So we're talking, you know, quite a few years ago now, believe it or not. 2020 is 6 years ago. But the fact that we see that, and then we see a bit of a rift, and then we see a lot of what tells me, and again, this is my this is me looking at the situation, going, if someone wanted to coercively control somebody, and maybe prevent someone from talking or speaking out or doing this, you're going to make threats, you're going to do this, and if we start to look deeper at what was going on behind the scenes, there seems to be a bit of that going on. No, I'm not saying it's connected. I'm not saying that we know for sure or any of that, but it sure as hell looks like there was some things going on behind the scenes with some of the members of the Duggar family and Kendra's family, very much alienating Kendra into maybe alienating is the right word, but I guess further compacting her into the trash heap that is the Duggars, and keeping her, I guess, further away from the thinking of maybe her own family that may have been calling some of this out, that may have been saying, red flag over here. This is kind of weird. This is not okay. This should be reported. This should stop. This is your own family. And then allegedly Kendra still, you know, going along with the Duggars. And I'm not faulting her for it. It's an extremely confusing place to be for someone to be torn by your two families that you were a part of. Yeah. And then you mix God into the religion and eternal damnation if you pick the wrong door to go down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a battle for control with a lot of spirituality mixed in. I guess speak to that a little bit about how organizations like this, how people who are so deeply religious in a toxic way use all of those levers to control the people around them. And when they're no longer able to control them, what do they do with them?
Well, when you're no longer following the script, you are punished in some way. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a million subtle and not so subtle ways you can be punished. And, you know, I think people's identity becomes fused with the group. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the hallmarks of a cult, is you lose your ability to think and you lose your ability to have a sense that you're a separate human being entitled to have your own thoughts. People are literally punished for answering questions. They're punished for independent thinking. And when you're married to someone who has authority over you and you've bought into that system, it's very hard to challenge it, even when you have other family members that are challenging it or encouraging you to look at things differently. It's sort of like you repeat the story over and over and over in your head because thinking and analyzing is dangerous.
Kind of like Asa Alrup in our other story.
Yeah, a lot of similarities.
And again, just that power of language they use, because, you know, we're using our objective analysis of what they're doing for control, fear, intimidation, but those aren't the words they were using. The emotional reaction was, but they keep going back to this thing, you just confessed to us, and you didn't do a S violation against a little child. You were, you know, you had a moral failing. And then in order to get over it, you have to be restored. And the only way to be restored is to confess to us, not the police, not anyone else. No. They don't say that because that's illegal. They just keep it in that context of this is the language under the umbrella. Oh, it's just, it's, if you're going to control human beings, this was a masterclass on how to do it and have them completely bought into it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and that idea of restore is going to produce more offenders because they never, you know, it's something external. The devil tempted them, and they just at that moment had a slip that just came out of nowhere. And what we know with, can we say sex offenders?
Say S offenders.
S offenders. There is a whole thinking process that leads up to it. It doesn't just happen out of nowhere. And so it keeps them from ever being able to examine what is going on in my head that led to this happening, which is why it happens over and over and over again for folks like this.
And that over and over and over again, Siobhan, we were saying yesterday with Bob Mata, can you imagine how attractive this organization is to those S offenders out there that they finally found a home, that all they got to do is they can do whatever they want. They'll be rewarded with restoration.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And it's so, yeah, they still attract, and yet the organization still exists. It blows your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary and creepy because you're talking about people who are on the outside of that world, and not a lot of people go into it. I mean, some do, but it's a very closed off world, and a lot of the people inside that world are bred there. Like they are grown and raised, and that is all they absolutely know. And what I'm noticing is the moral failures. There doesn't seem to be, and this is my interpretation of it, they're tone deaf to the weight of wrongs, of things that people do, of offenses, almost as if doing that to a 9-year-old is just as bad as stealing Snickers, you know, from her candy bag at Halloween. Mm-hmm. I mean, a moral failure is me stealing a bag of Skittles from my daughter's dresser. Like that would be a more like, well, she saved her allowance for it. She got it. But I really want that Skittles. And gosh darn it, I got the munchies. I'm going to take your Skittles. That's a moral failure. Yeah. That would be like level 1 moral failure. Level 10 is the allegation of what he admitted to in Florida. Mm-hmm. But when they treat it all as if you're stealing Skittles, the hierarchy, the weight of the offenses, nobody seems to understand the difference in the impact that it makes on someone else. And in no way, shape, or form am I trying to stand up for Joseph Duggar. But if this is the environment that you are raised in and everything is pretty much the same equal weight, it's got to be difficult as they grow up and they're uneducated. I mean, these people have like a second grade education at the end of the day is what I'm learning. They didn't get a high school diploma. Most of them are not educated. Like there's like 2 that have GEDs. The rest, they had the Gothard workbooks. And from insider information we have, the Duggars didn't even teach most of that shit. They basically stopped at second grade from what we understand and what some reporting is saying. And then from there on out, so there are a bunch of frickin' morons at the end of the day. They are. I mean, and it's not their fault, the kids. It's not the kids' fault. I'm not saying Josh is, you know, but their education level is at a, you're talking about second graders. That's why when we heard those phone calls between Kendra and Josh, everybody's like, they sound like 12-year-olds. Yeah, because they essentially, intellectually, they are 12-year-olds.
It's the critical thinking level is what it is, right?
Who shit out kids because we didn't teach them about that either, other than once they're married, it's like, okay, go F like rabbits. And when everything is at the same level, that I would think it becomes a breeding ground for predatory behavior in young men, in ways and in more dangerous ways than even in an environment that does instill and teach how wrong that is, because you've taken the whole mechanism out of that equation that says this is horrible. This is really, really, really bad. You will destroy your own life. That will destroy someone else's life. This shouldn't be your instinct to begin with, but if for some freaking reason it is, don't go there. It's not even there. It's not part of the equation. That is a scary thing about this group. Is that why we see more predators come out of environments like this than we do necessarily other ones?
I think so. It's a breeding ground for people with S problems and never having appropriate education about what's normal, what's not normal. You know, somebody said in the documentary, the girls weren't even allowed to have tampons because that was considered a form of, you know, pleasure. I mean, it's just so out of reality.
And violating yourself before your husband does.
Right.
That's what they said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They did not. The kids had absolutely no sense of what normal was. And I have a friend who wrote a book. It's not a secret at all, but about being raised in it, not a cult, not to this degree, but a very religious home where there were no boundaries. And dad, until she was 16, 17 years old, would come in and have long conversations with her while she was taking a bath and just sat not right next to her in the bathtub. And guess what happened? Severe SA for years by older brother. And you get these families where people are not given a sense of what's normal and what's not okay, no boundaries and no insight. And yeah, she grew up, got away from all of them, went to therapy and wrote a book about it. So,
and according to Jill Duggar's book, we keep skipping over some of this sometimes, is no matter what the boys do with their moral failings, they blame it on the girl being too enticing. They're revealing too much. They still keep victim blaming and they're letting the guys off. All you got to do is confess and you're restored. And it was all the girl's fault all along anyway. Well, that's just a great system, man.
Yeah. And the girls are not allowed to be angry. They're not allowed to have feelings about it. So it's repress, repress, repress. Which, you know, when people have to live that way, they're going to have psychological problems down the road.
And that's why you see, you know, you listen to the jailhouse calls between Joseph and Kendra, and she's got the nice voice on all this, and she's telling him how she's had to have multiple transfusions.
IVs.
She's had multiple IVs. She can't eat. She can't sleep. She's losing weight, but she's still got the nice voice on she's completely falling apart.
Yeah.
And he's reading Psalms.
Yeah,
and
he's like, well, Psalms today. Just read the Psalms. Just read more Bible. I like this version of Bible, which is also kind of striking. So, you know, Siobhan, did you find that in your experience that I found this shocking was they're using Christianity, their selective version of it, in all they're doing to maintain this control, yet I was really kind of shocked at Joseph's and Kendra's lack of knowledge of the Bible until he was thrown into prison with nothing else to do. Is that common?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's all in, the Bible has so much in it and so many diverse kinds of things. You compare the Old Testament to the New Testament and Psalms to Leviticus. I mean, it's a real mishmash that's all over the place, and people can be very selective in what they choose to focus on, and you know, they choose to focus on things that serve them in the moment or reinforce their biases or their anger, or, you know, sometimes God is the angry, vengeful God who's going to punish everybody. Sometimes it's Jesus with the Sermon on the Mount, and people will very selectively go to whatever it is that, you know, meets their needs.
I know there are people near the Duggar clan that know the Duggar clan, that communicate with the Duggar clan, that watch this program. Get Kendra this book.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's a great idea. That's a very good idea.
Get her this book. Put a different cover over it so nobody catches her reading it. Get her that book. If you were to say something to Kendra right now, Siobhan, having been someone who escaped religiosity and that sort of a mindset and that sort of a an upbringing and a family life and all that, and the outside world is, you know, evil and all that, where she's sitting right now trying to figure out what the hell to do. She's got four kids that, you know, with the Duggars. She's got the Duggars that are sitting there love bombing her right now, saying, you know, we're going to take care of you. We're going to do this. Go stay with one of the 19 kids that we shit out. And the kids are taking, it'll be okay. It'll be, you know, they're very much closing the wagons and hoping to God she doesn't escape and doesn't spill the beans on everything that she knows within their group. What would you tell her? I mean, as far as, I mean, because there's a lot of fear right now, I'm sure, of not wanting to get out, of a fear of what's going to happen if you get out, that it's the end of the world, that, oh my gosh, Jim Bob's going to remove his umbrella of help and authority, and there's probably an NDA involved somewhere in there, and he's probably going to try and get you for taxes. There's gazillions of attorneys around here that could easily shut Jim Bob down in a second. But so what would you say to alleviate that fear, that concern? Because if she walks away from them, I mean, she has her family to go back to, hopefully. I'm sure they would lovingly take her back. But she would be walking away from the Duggars and the coercive control and whatever bullshit they're spewing at her right now in terms of trying to keep her in the fold. What would you say from your experience?
You know, she needs a safe person or a safe place or safe friends where she can talk about her fears and her feelings and to be encouraged to speak things that when she's in the religious group, it's just not allowed to have those questions. You're not allowed to speak. And the more people can feel like they have support to open up, to sit with reality, to express their pain, you know, because the other thing about these groups, you're not allowed to have pain. You know, you've got to be smiley happy. You've got to be joyful. You've got to be praising God all the time. Well, that's not, can't be what she's experiencing legitimately internally. And so I think even one person who can be safe, you know, without criticizing her, but just encouraging the floodgate to open, I think that would be the best therapy there is. And of course I'd say go to therapy, but you know, that's not where everybody's at.
Get out first.
You know, if you're afraid to say something and to talk, you're in the wrong place.
Exactly.
I think that's just really the baseline. And even you might not want to hear what your dad tells you. He's going to let you talk if this is the case in her case. But someone, anyone, a mother, a sister, a friend, like Siobhan says, if you don't feel safe to share, you are in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very much.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work through the nightmare that is the Duggars counting the charges.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teal's, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teal's, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teals Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teal's, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teal's, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teal's Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.